I just want to make sure you know our heart is to serve and love you well and come alongside you. And then this morning, we're actually going the opposite. Now it's your turn to serve. So we are in a series called Something Different, and it is a verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And week one, we talked about if we were to do this series and we were to open up the bridge, we would see all of these gears working, and it's the inner tinkering. What makes the bridge click? What makes us turn? What makes us run? What's our mission? What's our vision? What's our heart? What are we beating towards? And so we started to say, I think the book of 1 Thessalonians can help us unpack that. So this is a visual demonstration of, if you were to open us up, this is maybe how we run. And so week one, we talked about grace and peace, and how we wanted to be a people of grace and peace, which would be very unique in today's society, because this is not a society where grace and peace reigns. It's a, I will pay you back, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, where we do not let people have bad days, where we do not let people have off moments. And so we said, what would it look like if we just said, we're all screw-ups, grace and peace. Week two, we talked about faith, love, and hope in the context of midnight moments, when the storm of life is coming, and life is rough and hard, could we stand in faith? Could we stand in love? Could we stand in hope? How could God use those tough moments when maybe everything is raining down? It is just rough. We just look up and we say, really, God? And instead of throwing in the towel, what would it look like if we threw the towel over our arms and started to serve people? What if we held the umbrella for someone else saying, God has given me a storm much like yours. Let's journey together in this. The next week, we did something really unique where we brought you, randomly, up on stage and just said, talk to us about faith. Talk to us about love. Talk to us about hope. And in that conversation, we wanted to lift up that those three words, although ideas, beliefs, are really action-oriented. If someone were to display faith, they would have to do something. If someone was to labor in love, they would have to show it by an action. If we are to persevere in hope, it is taking a stance of action. So we said those three things aren't just ideas and beliefs, but they're actually something we do. And last week, we talked about how God has chosen us. And in that choosing and our response to it, He is changing us back to His original intent. We had, I don't know if you remember, we had the sculptors over here. They were doing their thing. So amazing. Like, I didn't know if it was going to work, and it worked beautifully. They were carving soap. And the idea was, anyone have primal here? Random. Blast it. Okay, don't worry about it. Awkward. For those of you who are new, this is normal. What we wanted to say is that these artists, the one was a guitar. Brant, what did you do? I missed it completely. Jesus? Jesus. Good job. Those sculptures were always in there. They were always in there, and these people just brought them out. Just like what our true self is. Yes, we were born sinners. We admitted that. But we said God's intent, when He first thought of us, when we were a first thought in His mind, He had something in mind, and He's recalling that out, and we are changing back into that. And which leads us to this week. I was going to read something from a book called Primal, so now I will just summarize. Mark Batterson is the author of this book, and he went to a national prayer breakfast, and Mike Frost was giving the keynote address, and he had done about 150 heart transplants. He was a thoracic surgeon where he would actually do a heart transplant, and he would talk about all of the inner workings of the body and how you would just have this moment where all you could do, when everything is set, you just wait. There isn't some magical, like, and now you hit button A. You just wait, and you hope it takes. And in that moment, he said, it is the most amazing mystery, where this person who had this heart took out, put in a new heart, and now you just, and it worked. There's another guy by the name of something that I can't remember, and he was meeting with a bunch of people who had heart transplants. And he was interviewing them and asking them about what that was like. And all of them admitted that they had new cravings, new desires, new passions, partly in response to they got a second chance at life, But now research is showing that there's actually some kind of cerebral membrane connected to the heart, where the heart actually has memory. And so you have a person whose heart is removed from them because of something, and it's placed into a new person, and it comes with it all of these new attachments. They get this new heart, and all of a sudden they have new eating habits, new desires, things that once didn't matter now matter to them. It's a mystery. Ezekiel 36:26 says it this way. I believe we have that verse. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I believe that story of a person getting a new heart and getting new desires is the perfect transition from last week to this week. Last week, if you did not get it, Jesus Christ came to set you free. He came to give you a new heart. You were once far from him. And now he's given you a new heart, and now it's this mystery where it's like, is it going to take? And when it does, this new heart bursts out new desires, new passions. Turn with me. If you don't have a Bible, there's some there, 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 and there. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10. And in these verses, I want to show how the people of Thessalonica went from God choosing them and them embracing this to all of a sudden now they have a new desire, a new motivation. They have something that is bursting in them where before they received and now they give. Where are we going? All right, we're going somewhere. Let's start in verse 7. Anyone got a page number for those? Because I didn't write one out. 1080? 1080. For those of you who look in. And if you don't have a Bible, keep stealing ours. We're short like 40 right now. That's fine. We're okay with that. Hijacking the Word of God on your way home. That's cool here. That's cool. That's one of the things we promote. Steal God's Word. Verse 7. And so, this is, and so, like, because that happened, now, so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And remember, I'm not a linguistic or know how to say any of these words. I go confidently, remember? And then you just believe me. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what happened when we visited you. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. I've traveled in my day, I've been to the airports, and if you've ever been to one of the crazy big airports, they got these things called moving sidewalks, you know what I'm talking about? And you can always tell who's really new at these. Because they kind of like trying to time it, as if like there's some kind of, and now. I had a similar experience with Toby, we were figuring out the escalator, and he's like, doing this on the top. It's so beautiful. But back to the airport. So there is just a busy time. This is not when you want to be traveling because everyone is there. And all these people are like, you know, flooding this way and that way. And you have the person who's got way too much luggage. Like they paid the $400 to transport it all with them. But then they felt like it should all be carry-on too. And so they're timing and they get on. And, you know, they're like the wobbly legs. And, you know, meanwhile, everybody else is trying to like walk around them, you know. You know, because they got to get somewhere. And they're moving. And the sidewalk's bringing them to this destination. And all of a sudden, it dawns on the person that this will come to an end. And they have something to do now. Is get off. And so, as they're moving, you watch this person. And they come into the end. And they're like, oh no. And they get off. And they like, and they stop. They just stay right there. Which leads to the massive pileup. Because everyone's like, no, no! You know, boom, 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 and they're just all taken over. I want to say that's a picture of how the church has been lately. We're moving like God is drawing us to him. We're coming. And we're like, oh man, this is scary. God, you're right there. Oh, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Salvation. And it's good stuff. And we get to the end and we're like, oh. And I think we forget then that we can take steps after that. What would it look like if we embraced the idea That God is setting us free so that we can go make a difference. I want to argue that this morning, this church here got off the moving sidewalk and then kept walking. And because they did that, they had a tremendous influence. In these verses, there's five ways where their influence spread. I just want to highlight four of them real quickly and then kind of share with you where I believe God is calling the bridge to be an influence over the next 4 months. Not 1 year, 2 years. We're going to get this done in like 4 months. Okay. The first one is they became examples. We see this in verse 7. And so you became a model or an example to all the believers. You became an example. That's having influence. Last night, my wife and I were hanging out in the kitchen talking to our kids. And Toby, I don't even remember what exactly he said, but he, you know, and Jenny gave him the answer. And he goes, "How did you two get to know so much?" Oh, that was pretty adorable. And Jenny said, "We went to school and things." And then it dawned on me, we're having an influence on him. He's soaking in our information. Number one question for you is, who are you having an influence on? These people, this church, had massive influence to those around the area. To believers and non-believers, I'm guessing. But for you, I want you to ask, who has God surrounded you with that you already have influence with? And are your actions an influence that is good or not so good? Are you the cranky person in the morning who will not be a person you want to hang around with until they've had a coffee? Or are you a person who wakes up and is like, "Woo! I don't know." I'm not saying you have to have like all kinds of energy and things like that. That's not it either. But what I am saying is, are your words a blessing, an encouragement, fruitful? Are they kind words? Are they words of generosity? Are they words of hang in there? I'm with you. Are you influencing in such a way that you're posturing yourself of, "I can't stand my job. I hate this. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, the world's going to..." Blah, blah. Which one's going to have a greater impact in the kingdom? I'm just... got to keep moving. The second way I see them being an influence is verse 8. The Lord's message rang out. That is some powerful language. I think other ones have the Lord's gospel rang out or went forward, went forth. There's all kinds of different wordings. But the idea is this. The word of God burst out. The city of Ottumwa, you know, it's got this whole Native American... But Ottumwa actually means land of rippling water. I'm starting to ponder that here, where the word of God rang out. And what would it look like if we were a church where the word of God rippled out? Oh, I'm liking that. See, these people knew that they had to know God's word. So therefore, I make the conclusion, assumption, that we need to be a people who know God's word. So this is how we do that. We meet on Sundays. We dig in. We tinker. We ask questions. We bring you up. We also do it through growth groups. We do it by providing you with resources such as the 90-day New Testament Challenge. We want you to know the Word so that the Word will ring out from you, ripple out, influence out. If we get the Word of God in us, it transforms us. And we can even be better examples. Third way that I see influence in here is that they turn from idols. The Lord's message rang out for me not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what happened when we visited you. They tell how you turned to God from idols. That's influential. Here's the concept I think we always have of idols, is the little statue or big statue, which you come and pay homage to, provide some kind of monetary, and I mean, it just best because like not too many of us have that, correct? So I was trying to figure out how do we dance with this idea of idolatry? And this is where there's lots of different ways, but what would it look like if you quit giving your time to things that don't matter? What if we quit giving our time to worthless things? Television? I'm not saying cut television. I'm saying cut television. No. I'm just wondering, what if we were to stop doing that so much? On Tuesdays, twice a month, I try something. It's called No Tech Tuesday. And No Tech Tuesday is, I do not make any phone calls out. If they come in, so be it. I do not Twitter.
What's Twitter?
I do not Facebook. I do not email. I do not watch TV. I may listen to some worship music because, I don't know, like a cheat. This past Tuesday, I did one of those. In the morning, I had the shortest fuse possible. I feel bad for my kids. I had coffee. Everything else was normal. It's my day off. And, you know, I was just, on them. Sai goes, it's because you didn't have your pacifier. I'm like, what? Technology. I'm like, oh, yeah. Somehow technology and TV and these things just somehow zone me in. Can I tell you some of the fruit of No Tech Tuesday? By the end of the day, I had shalom. I had peace. My fuse was super long. They're extra crazy, and I'm like, it's all right. It's okay. I also discovered that I pondered less. I thought about less. I had less things coming into my head to think about. Therefore, the things I did think about, I thought about in greater depth. I pondered less, but pondered more. I don't think we give ourselves enough opportunities to ponder less, but ponder it more. And it's because I think we give ourselves to worthless things all the time, and we just keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going. And these people, they stopped turning to idols. They stopped turning to things of distraction. They stopped turning to the things of the world. And I'm as guilty as everyone else. And at some point, they just said, enough's enough. What would it look like if I just zoned out of that for a little bit and turned in to God, tuned in to God? Fourth observation of how they were influential in spreading the good news is they went on to serve the living and true God. Went on to serving. Are they back yet? They're not back yet? Oh, I thought this would be like the perfect time to bring them up. Guess not. Well, you know. Alan Hirsch has a quote. Do we got that one? We are never going to consume our way into discipleship. I believe Jesus called us to be disciples. Disciples, we always say, are those people who follow Jesus. And this quote just messes with me because it says, we're never going to consume our way into discipleship. You know how we consume discipleship? We show up on Sundays, we sing our songs, we listen to the message, we go home and go on with our week. And we say, we're moving closer to Jesus because, you know, we're doing the discipleship thing. We went to church. I even joined a growth group. And here's the idea. Does it make you more like Jesus? It might give you more information about him. At some point, it really could transform you. I'm not negating that. At some point, it is the action of actually going and doing something like Jesus did that starts to mess with us. It's going and serving in the community. These people, they went and they had influence all over. People all over are talking about them. It became known everywhere. How they quit wasting their time with idols and they started serving the living God. So, look at Matthew 20, 28 with me. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a disciple of him. Then serve. Next one. Next verse. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Scripture continually pulls us to these places where if you want to be like Christ, you have to set aside your own agenda, which is tough. At the same time, what I think we're going to hear if they come back, maybe they got nervous, they went home. Maybe they took my $300, huh? That'll be a sermon. We're going to talk about Ananias and Sapphira this week. No, sorry. Sorry, oh, that was horrible. But funny. I said there's five. The fifth one is way they were influenced, their influence spread. I see it in they waited for Jesus. They were waiting for him. And in 3 weeks, we're going to do a message entitled, A Church is Prepared, and we're going to talk about end times. Woohoo! That'll be weird. So let's bring this all back together here. They were examples. They had the voice of God, the message, rang out from them. They turned from idols and they turned to serve God. So, what's that mean for the bridge? Here you go. You ready? In about 5 weeks, a team of four of us is going to leave here and we're going to go to Cambodia. And I have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. But I think it's longer than this trip. My hope is that we can somehow ripple out into being a global influence. I don't mean we're going to be an influence everywhere around the globe. We've chosen Cambodia. We have connections to Haiti. We're going to wait and see how that all pans out. But right now, we really feel called to Cambodia. We are partnering with someone named Molly Hagen, who is organizing our trip. We're going to do some medical stuff. Here's a few pictures. Yeah. She recently went out to the Siem Reap area. Next slide. To do some ministry. They're doing basic education of hygiene, and we get to partner with this. What's it mean to brush your teeth? We worked with a couple of dentists. They just dumped a bunch of toothbrushes and things like that. We're working on getting medical supplies, children's Tylenol, things like that. We want to go there and just be a blessing and serve. Molly right now, outside her house, she cuts hair too, I guess. At 6 a.m., all the kids gather in her backyard because it's called the playground. There isn't a playground in the city of Battambang, which is the second largest city in Cambodia. And so one of our, we don't know, but we have this belief that we think God is going to ordain a way where we can build a playground in Cambodia. Not we give them money to build it. We go over there and we build, I don't know. That's what, we'll just see. But we're gonna go over there to serve, to love. I'm pumped and nervous, not because I'm scared. It's 2 weeks, a long time away from my family. But I am so optimistic. What does God have for us there? Now, people are like, yeah, that's way over there. That costs lots of money. What? Now I want to flip it. Go ahead, black the screen, Brandon. We're going over there to do this medical thing. Here's another thing we got. Number two. We're going to start a free clinic in the city of Ottumwa. Free medical care. Now, some of you are like, I don't have all the details figured out. Should we go to number three? No, seriously though, we're going to start a free clinic. I don't know where, I don't know when, but I do know it's going to be soon. We have worked with a doctor who is actually going over to Cambodia with us. His name's Ryan Van Manen. He's here. If you want to meet him after service, I'll introduce you. He's been doing a lot of research trying to figure out how you can set up free clinics, because there are such things as free clinics of Iowa, and how he's getting the process started so that we can open up one of those in the city of Ottumwa. What would it look like if one night a week you knew you could tell someone who really is not have the proper health package or things like that, you can go to this place and get medical treatment? What would it look like if we served the least of these who cannot afford the care they need, and we just said, here it is? Won't that be a lot of money? I don't know. I said, I don't have all the details. I'm optimistic, though, that this will mess with this city. People will not know how to respond to something like that. And I say, amen, then. We're doing something different. I'm excited. So we're going to need a lot of help and a lot of patience, but I really believe this is coming sooner than you think. At probably this summer. There's a few more details, but we want to love the least of these. We want it to ripple out. A third way where I think God is calling us to be an influence in the city of Ottumwa is in the area of students. And so we are upping the ante of how we are resourcing and positioning staff to go after students in the city of Ottumwa. We believe that the kingdom is advancing in the high school, in the middle school right now. We believe it's going to trickle down into the elementaries. I think this is a great city with great schools, and I think God's got great things in store for the students. And so we want to dump resources and energy and leadership and power of God into those. Do you hear what's happening in our student ministry? They pray every Saturday night at the Furnace. They fast on Friday nights. They are dedicated to seeking out ways that they can share the gospel. Our students, they play games sometimes. They are radically being changed by Jesus Christ. And so we need to go with that. We need to up that. And so I'm excited about, what does it look like as a church? We love students. We are placing a high priority on getting students to desperation. If you want to go and money's an object, someone will cover you. We'll get you there. We're going to figure it out. We're excited about loading up vans and getting them there. It is changing the face of the schools. I'm excited about that. Number four, the last one, is something called the egg extravaganza. That's a work in progress right now. This is the idea. What would it look like if this church gathered together, all 200 of us, and put on an event to just love the city? So we can tell them about Jesus? Maybe. Our number one goal is to love them right where they're at. Our hope is it creates bridges and pathways into them wanting to know more about Jesus. But before that, we just want them to know that they are loved. So on April 3rd, we are throwing an egg extravaganza. We have rented the big side over here. We have rented the soccer fields to be grass. And we are going to dump over 6,000 eggs out there. It's not an Easter egg hunt. It's an egg extravaganza. There's not going to be a bunny. It's an egg extravaganza. All right? We will have games and carnivals and all kinds of things. And we are blanketing the city with this free event. Come here. Bring your family. We want to love on you. While here, they will experience all kinds of different things. It's going to be crazy. We're anticipating over 1,000 people. Therefore, we need more than 3 people working. On your way out, you will receive a sheet of all of the different teams we are putting together. And now I'm just throwing it right at you. I don't do this very often. It would be crazy for you not to sign up this morning. Well, I had to check the... No, you don't need to check the date. It's April 3rd, day before Easter. You're fine. Unless you travel somewhere on Easter, you're available. And if you're traveling somewhere on Easter, these teams are meeting before then. You can help them out. This is something we need to rally behind. This is something we need to group together. This will ripple through the city. They're just throwing on... We are spending a lot of money and resources. Why? Because we want to love people in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we are going to invite them to Easter the next day. This place might be packed, might not. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But they will get a DVD about some of the things that are going on the bridge. We got all kinds of, there's a lot to do, though. I don't have all the details. You know why? Because you are helping us put this on. Si, do you have the sheets of paper? Are they out there? All right. So on your way out this morning, you will get a piece of paper. There are tables that used to be name tag tables. They are now turned around, and they are looking at you. Which one of these do you want to sign up for? I know some of you. You're going to try to do this. Can I urge you to sign up and don't miss an opportunity to become a disciple of Christ? Don't miss a chance to serve the city. Don't miss a chance to pour yourself out so that someone else might be blessed. For once, could it be about someone else besides us? I want this church to be a church that ripples out. Yes, we meet. We talk about Jesus. We don't just talk about him. We proclaim him Lord and Savior. And therefore, part of that proclamation is we need to get up out of our seat and go and love. And what a unique opportunity. Yeah, oh yeah, tomorrow we meet right there. Are you going somewhere? I'm really excited about this egg extravaganza. I think it's going to rock this world. So here there's one more thing that's kind of tied to the extravaganza. Last year we did something called a Acts Surge Day, where we had over 200 people come and just do random acts of kindness for people. Trim trees, paint houses, move material, fix plumbing. On the extravaganza, we will have the Acts tent there, and basically it's saying, do you have a project that you would like someone to do for you? And then we're going to come back 4 months later and do it for them. We don't care how big, how crazy. That's what we're going to do. Because we're a church that ripples out the love of Christ. I'm fired up about this. I got a lot of like, you said free clinic before. The band's going to come up. And I want us to see this as a unique day where God is calling us out in greater ways. I think some of you come here on Sunday mornings because you just are longing to be about something bigger than yourself. What would it look like to just jump on and rally with the crew? Are my people back yet? Okay, we'll end with them. Maybe. No, I'm fine, man. It's tough. Maybe there's no one shopping today. We'll end with that, a blessing, and on your way out, you're going to get a piece of paper and an opportunity to join something, all right? Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that you've given us this church of Thessalonica to be an example for us. Not only did they ripple out in their area and in their time, they are impacting us right here and right now. And so just as God chose them, and out of that they got new hearts and they served in new ways, I pray that you would continue to give us a new heart. A heart that says, the lost matter to you, and we will do whatever it takes short of sin to see them meet you. God, make this opportunity real for us. Use it in our lives too. I believe as we go and serve, we become changed. We become more like Christ. So I pray we would not miss this opportunity. Would you receive all the glory? Amen. Got time for some quick stories? Sit down, let's bring them up here. Let's hear how it went. I think this is a perfect example of what it means to, instead of going to church, be the church. So, let's, here we go. Here's Melissa's. Watch the water there, Levi, thanks. Tell me your initial thought. You get to, where'd you go?
Aldi's.
It was open. Yep. All right, yes, yep. Microphone. So you get there, and what's your initial, in your head, now, what's on your mind?
I was excited. Yeah, I was like, okay, this is church. We're gonna, you know, that's what it's all about. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. And so now, walk me through. How, what was your time?
Okay. We actually helped two people. The first gal was a young gal. Her name is Jenny, and she was just like, I've never had anything like this happen to me before. And we're like, yeah, she's like, this is weird. And I said, well, it's kind of weird for us too, but this is what church is all about. You know, God's good, and he just wanted us to bless you today.
Awesome.
And she's like, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah, so we kept encouraging her to get more, and she's like, no, this is enough. So, but we had a lot left over, so we just prayed about it. And there was one lady that we'd seen earlier, and she was just getting started, so... But then we just really felt like God was leading us back to her. And her name is Maria. And her husband broke his leg a month ago, here playing soccer. And is
broke it at church.
And is out of work. He's out of work, and she doesn't have a job right now. So she was beside herself. When we got all done, and we could go on, we had lots of conversations because we sent her back to the beginning and told her to refill her cart. And she's just like, God is beautiful today. Yeah. And we were putting the stuff into her car. Yeah, it was really cool. But we're not done. We're going to go help her because her husband's got a broken leg, so we're going to go help her unload her groceries.
Because she has this huge trunk.
She's got a couple little girls. And she just, yeah. Yeah. So.
But, thank you so much. Thank you
no,
for serving
thank you.
That
it was
that
is, a blessing.
I want you to get this in your head. It is fun to go and be a blessing. It is just something that you, at first you're like, I don't, and then you go and you're like, God ordained all of this. When we leave here, I want you to sign up for the extravaganza because it's just another way where we can go and love people. What does it look like just for a family to show up, have something free that they can go to, and just love their kids? It's a beautiful thing. Receive this blessing. Father God, would you continue to stir in our hearts where we want more of you, where we are not satisfied with just having a knowledge of you, but we want all of you. We become desperate in our pursuit of you. We become convicted of ways we stray from you. We want all that you have, God. Change our hearts so that they are more like yours. And then out of that, ripple your love out of us so that we might be a blessing to this city, to our families. Lord, for those who are in hurtful situations, for those who are burdened with life, would you bring peace to them? Would you show them what they need to stop doing so that they might actually experience shalom? For those who need to have a don't do list, Lord, would you convict them in such a way where they stop doing and out of that they encounter you? And God, let this day be a day where we are forever changed, and it propels us forward to greater days ahead, where we can be used by you. To you be all the glory, forever and ever.